I asked the pianist to stay there just for a moment, not to leave yet. I'm sure Rodney has said this to you many times. I certainly hope so. If he hasn't, I'm going to tell him he needs to. I want to tell you something. If a man can preach, if he hears you play, you can make him preach. I don't know how much you all appreciate this lady. I'm sure you do. I know a little bit about music. Took piano lessons for years and can't play very much. My daughter plays down at William and Mary. But you are extremely fortunate to have you at that piano. Amen. Let me tell you something. I didn't know him well. I knew him fairly well. You all can be seated. That'd be all right. I'm an old country boy. Nothing bothers me. I had breakfast one morning with Billy Graham many years ago. He and George Beverly Shea with my friend, whom I'll introduce in a moment, one of his friends in Richmond. Billy Graham, don't leave the piano. I want you to stay up here for a minute, really. Don't leave. You didn't know this. I didn't come to preach today. I came to hear you play. Anyway, Billy Graham addressed a bunch of... Now, I don't know Billy Graham personally. I don't want to give you that impression, but I went to breakfast with him on a number of occasions. In Richmond, in North Carolina. He said that more people had been won for Christ through music than any sermon or any words that he ever preached. And I believe that, and I know that. I just retired last year from a church over in Middlesex, and we had a tremendous choir. And they each Sunday did much more than I did. And you've done it this morning. Now, I'm going to preach in a moment, and I hope I'm not embarrassing you, but I want you to play again anything of your selection. And I want you all to listen, because your playing leads us closer to the cross. Would you do that? Whatever you may select. I already know it's going to be good. If I preached here, you'd be playing a whole lot, I can tell you. That majesty, again, is good for me. Now, what I want you to do now, you just close your eyes and listen. Really do that. Thank you. I do a lot of revivals. I've got to get your phone number. I thank you so very, very much. Thank you. God looked down one day, and he was real disappointed. He saw a world that he had created. And it was not in good condition. You see, in the beginning, he created what he thought and what he wanted to be perfect. He created a man and a woman, the first Adam. And he put them in a garden called the beautiful garden. And he said to Adam and to Eve, if you'll just be obedient to me, this is paradise. God had planned that to be the heaven. But they didn't listen. And they made a mistake, as all of us make mistakes. God forgave them, as he forgives all of us. And so as time went on, he did a number of things differently. We didn't listen. And so this day, from wherever he sits, he looked down at the earth and he saw you and he saw me. And he said, I've got to do something. Because my people that I created need help. And so he said, Jesus, you've got to go down there. You've got to help those people that I created. The people to whom I gave freedom of choice and gave a mind that they can think and gave them freedom of will they can choose. They're making some really bad decisions. I'm paraphrasing now, of course you know. And so God came down. You know that was God that was in that little manger in Bethlehem. That was God as the Son, part of the Godhead. You know that. He left the splendor of heaven, where all of that wonderful angelic music was, to come down here to help you and to help me. It's called love. Spelled L-O-V-E, love. And so he came, Jesus came. And he loved us. You know, we can think of men and we can think of women down through the ages who have loved. I can think of Washington at Valley Forge who, when his soldiers missed him, they found him out on his knees in the snow praying for his country. Praying that he might be successful. I know all about Patrick Henry standing in St. John's Church in Richmond saying, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. He wanted a country in which he could be proud. I can think of Corrie ten Boom, the missionary, praying for the world. I can think of men and women who've given their lives because of love for people. I marched across Germany one time and saw men and women loving America, giving their lives for this country. I saw all of that. I've seen men and women and boys and girls on their knees praying until tears flow down their faces for their families and for their country and for their friends. I've seen all that. And I know this man, Jesus, that God sent. So scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so Jesus came. One day, he walked out of the carpenter's shop, and he said, Mama, I've got to go now. His mother Mary said to him, Jesus, where are you going? He said, I got to go. I got to go about my Father's business. I got to do what God sent me to do. So he walked out and walked down the road. Saw a man fishing, and he said, come on, follow me, and if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He saw another man collecting taxes that everybody hated. He said, get up and come on, follow me. Went on down the road, and eventually he had 12 men. Ended up 11. One was a traitor, as you know. And they followed him. And for 3 years, he went all around the country preaching and teaching. Loving. We didn't listen. He did some wonderful things. Was a blind man named Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus was on the way to the cross, and yet he stopped and said, bring him to me. And they did, and he touched him, and he saw for the first time in his life. He had time for him. It was a little girl who was lying dead, and the mother said, oh, my heart's broken, and she was weeping and crying, and Jesus went and hugged her and said, don't cry anymore. And he raised the little girl from the dead. Martha called him Lazarus. His friend had died. He was on the way to the cross, but he took time enough to go by and said, listen, Martha, look, listen. Even when she said to him, Jesus, if you had come when I had called you, my brother would not have died. He said, wait a minute. Martha, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All men live. Even if they believe in me, even though they die, they shall live forever. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. Was a crippled man who'd never been able to walk. He'd never been able to do as we do. He had been in a paralyzed state all of his life. He couldn't walk down the road or walk to his friend's home or walk across the farm. He couldn't do anything. Jesus saw him and had compassion on him and said, listen, get up and walk. And he did. Then there were four men in the community, and they were great guys. They really were great guys. Listen to this. You know what they did? They heard that Jesus was going to be in the community. And so they went and got their friend, who also was paralyzed. And they took him. They said, listen, we know a man named Jesus. And if you let us take you to him, he can heal you if you believe in him. He said, take me there. And so they put him on a makeshift cot, and they went where Jesus was. And when they got there, they couldn't get in. So many people were all around him. And so they cut a hole in the roof, and they laid him down. And Jesus saw him, and he healed him. And he said, get up and take your cot with you. And he did. Then he was walking down the road one day, and there was a man who couldn't see. He was short. He wasn't very tall, and he couldn't see over the heads of the people. They were lined all up and down the roads, and Jesus was coming. They wanted to see him. They wanted to hear him. Name was Zacchaeus, so he climbed up a tree. And Jesus, everybody hated Zacchaeus, not Jesus. It's all about love. It's all about love. Jesus talked to him and said, come on, Zacchaeus, I'm going home tonight to eat with you. And you know what happened? Do you know what happened because Jesus loved him? Zacchaeus gave his life to Christ. And he went out and helped the poor. Out of love. Then one day there was a lady that was caught in adultery and a bunch of do-gooders. Sacrilegious people, I call them a bunch of do-gooders. They'd never done anything wrong in their lives, I suppose. They had her in the middle of them. All of them had a stone. And they were getting ready to throw that stone at her and kill her because that's what the Old Testament law said. And Jesus, you know, changed all of that. The law was gone. We now live by grace. And so he looked at them, and as you know the scripture, he stooped down on the ground and he wrote something. No one knows what he wrote. And he looked up and he said, look, whichever one of you is guiltless, what he really said, which one of you who's never committed a sin, go back to the Greek, then you throw the first stone at her. And they started to leave one by one. And he said, lady, I love you, get it right. Get your life right. Then one day he was after a preaching mission. He was walking down a dusty road and he got thirsty. He went into a little village and there was a lady there, a Samaritan lady. No one was supposed to like the Samaritans. Jesus walked up and said, I'm thirsty. She gave him water to drink. That's not the end of the story. He said, I know. I know that you've had 5 men in your life. I know that. I know all that. I know all about you. You see, we would have walked away. Some of us would. We'd say, oh, look at that lady. She lives on the wrong side of the street. All we see is the bad things that she's done. You can't do anything with her. It's not the way Jesus did it. It's not the way he told us to do it. He said, look, lady, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, how far you have strolled, how far you have stranded, how far you've gone from home, I want you to know something. I love you. And he put his arms around her. And he said, get your life straight. Get it right. Then there was a man named Peter who said, I love you, Jesus. I don't care what happens. I can tell you one thing, Jesus. I'll stand up and fight and I'll die for you, Jesus. And yet when the going got tough, the mountain road got a little high, the seas got a little turbulent, he said, I don't even know Jesus. He said, do you know Jesus? No, I don't know him. Even cursed him. But you know what Jesus did? After he came back, after he got down off of that cross, and after he crawled back out of that tomb, do you know what he did? Saw Peter, and he looked at him, and he said, Peter, I love you. I love you. Come on, it's all right. It's all right. Come on, follow me. And then one day at Philippi, he said, you know what? Peter, do you know who I am? Peter said, yes, Lord. You are the Son of God. He said, Peter, upon your faith, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's how much he loved Peter. You know, I walked recently in a hospital in Richmond, MCV, in fact, and one of the nurses, she saw me. I've done some counseling there, been pastoral counseling there for a number of years. She said, "Reverend Harrow, someone in here needs to see a minister." I go in. Was a little girl, maybe 12 or 14, kills you. You know what she said to me? She had an incurable disease. You know what she said to me? She said, "I love Jesus. Can you tell me all about how much he loves me?" You hear that? And so this man, Jesus, is different from the love of country. The love he has is even different from a mother's love, which is the greatest, strongest love we know here on earth. A mother will die for her child. But this man, the love that comes from Jesus, is different from all of that. He'd done all of these wonderful things. I'm going to end soon, so don't get restless. He had done all of these wonderful things. Made people see, made the deaf hear, made raise the dead. He'd done all of these things. Fed people, miracle after miracle. Wasn't enough. So he got on a donkey. He rode it to the top of the mountain. I don't know if you've ever been to Jerusalem or not. But just before you get into Jerusalem, there's a high mountain. Jesus rode up on that mountain and he looked down over that city. And here's what he said. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, if you had only listened to me." He was talking to the people. "I would have taken you under my wings as a hen does her brood. And I would have loved you and protected you." Then he rode down that mountain. And he said to all of the people in Farnham Baptist Church, me or you, he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I love you so much that I'm going to that cross and I'm going to allow myself to be whipped and hurt and embarrassed, and I'm going to die on that cross for you and for me." Now listen, I don't know how many preachers say this from the pulpit, but I'm going to say it because it's true. You know what he did when he died on that cross? He went straight to hell. Did you know that? When he cried on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was hurt so bad because he had all of your sins and all of mine on his shoulders. And he carried all of that to hell. And there he paid the price for you and for me. And then he conquered. He conquered death. And that's why we can say, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" There is no more victory in death and no more sting. Because Jesus Christ loved you and me so much. He gave his life and he conquered death and he's back. He's back. And he's coming back again. And my prayer is that we will love him so much that he's going to come to each one of us, which I know he will do, and put his arms around us and love us and take us with him forever. That's the gospel. And we're going to sing now. Hymn number 182. I don't care how long you've been a member of the church. I'm probably the oldest guy in here. Been a member of the church since I was 10, 11, or 12 years old. Go to church all the time, pray. Love the Lord. But every day I give myself anew to Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you to come as we stand and sing. Don't be too proud to come. Don't worry about what someone may say. There's nothing wrong in your life. If Jesus Christ could walk up a hill for you, can't you walk down an aisle for him now and then and just let him see you doing it publicly? That's what he said. He said, if you deny me publicly, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. So won't you come as we stand and as we sing. Hymn number 182. Let's stand.